Desert Island Discs.
Benny, what part of England do you come from?
Southampton.
What gave you your first interest in the theatre? Do you remember?
It was probably Christmas days. Stood up in the corner with funny hats on, making mum, dad and aunties and uncles laugh with little impersonations of film stars and Ned Sparks and Gordon Arkin and all that lot.
Yeah, yeah. What did you develop to from that?
From that, I did semi-pro entertaining, working men's clubs and charity concerts and so on.
Yeah. What sort of act did you do?
Anybody's, whoever I happened to see at the palace that particular week, yeah. Including Max Miller, often.
And when you left school, you decided to do that professionally?
Not immediately, because it was always at the back of my mind. Mm. But I had various jobs. I worked for a coal company, and I worked on a milk round. And during this time, I used to still do the semi-pro work, but I was getting better paid for it.
Yes.
And eventually I found I was getting more money from my semi-pro entertainment work than I was from the actual job, mm-hmm. During the day. So I packed it all up, sold my drum kit, came to London, and got a job as a property boy at £3 a week.
Property boy, that meant you didn't have to appear at all.
But I made my first professional appearance, actually, at East Ham Palace on the Wednesday first house, after I'd opened on the Monday. But on the Monday, I was had to set all the props out, you know, behind whatever scene was taking place in front. The small props like glasses and cups and saucers and so on. And the principal comic was Hal Bryan, and he used to go on, I could always hear this just coming through the cloth, you know, this opening of the show when he used to come on from one side and the straight man would come on from the other, and how the straight man would say, "Hello, Hal, going to it?" And he'd say, "No, I'm just coming from it." And they'd go into a beer routine, buying drinks and being friendly with barmaids and so on, that sort mm-hmm. of routine. But I was setting the props, and on the Wednesday first house, I heard the music and I knew Hal Bryan had gone on stage, but I didn't hear the straight man coming on saying, "Hello, Hal, going to it?" and going into the routine. I thought, well, something must be wrong. So I dashed round to the side of the stage, and there's Hal Bryan all by himself saying, "Oh, it's ever so lonely in East Ham, not a soul in sight." Well, we looked for the straight man everywhere, and we couldn't find him. He was probably in the pub having a drink. So I knew somebody had to go on and help him out. So with me knees shaking and my hands all hot and sticky and trembling, I went onto the stage and with a very nervous, high-pitched voice said, "Hello, Hal, going to it?" And he said, "Thank goodness you've come." "No, I'm just coming from it." And he was, for the rest of the sketch, he delivered his lines out loud. Mm. And my lines very quietly at the side of his mouth to me, you know, so that I could pick him up. And we managed, we pulled through.
And what happened then?
Well, I continued on as the property boy. And eventually they gave me small parts. And I did become a stage manager just before I went into the army.
Mm-hmm. Any chance to do any entertaining in the army?
Towards the end of my career, for the first 3 years of my army service, I was a very bad driver mechanic, but a bad one. I've never touched the wheel of a car since I've come out. And for the last 18 months or so, I went into army entertainments, which was called Stars in Battle Dress, Central Pool of Artists, and went over to CSE mm-hmm. afterwards, where incidentally the colonel who was in charge of CSE, Colonel Stone, is now my agent.
So you've got your colonel working for you?
Yeah. Yes, he's not working hard enough.
Every private's ambition.
Yeah. Of course, yes.
And when you were demobilised?
Well, when I was demobilised, I came out and did a few working men's clubs around London, pound for a single spot, 30 bob for two spots, and then, you know, that would lead to a Masonic dinner, and that would lead to a week's variety. I did my first broadcast for Eric Speer, who helped yes. me yeah. in broadcasting, very much, bless him.
Is there any particular occasion that you can look back on as your big opportunity?
No, I think there has been no big opportunity. It's been, you know, very slowly going up, and mm-hmm. I hope it'll be just as slow coming down.
When did you start in television, Bennett?
I think about 51, 52-ish, mm-hmm. I think. And there again, it's funny how I went into television. A lot funnier than when I'm on. But the thing is, no, I was in a touring show, and because my performance was not suitable, shall we say, it was lousy, you know. And I don't blame the proprietors at all. They asked me to leave, you know. And I left the show, and I had 9 weeks out of work. But during that 9 weeks, I spent all day writing television material. I had a feeling then that television was going to be the thing that would do more for me than anything else.
Yes.
And I wrote material. I managed to get in to up at television BBC television, and to see Bill Lionshaw, and he sent me along to see Ronnie Waldman, who didn't know me from a hole in the ground, and he was then head of light entertainment on BBC, and I put all this material, a pile of it, in front of him and said, look, Mr. Waldman, would you like to pick any of those sketches and, you know, anyone you like, and read it and tell me if you think I've got any promise as a scriptwriter? I had a feeling I would be a scriptwriter then, you know. Yeah. And he said, well, he pulled one out. He said, that's all right, read it, work it for me. And I worked it for him, and he said, well, you've made me laugh in the office here, you know, and I like the way you work it. Would you like your own show? And I said, yes. He said, in 3 weeks' time? I said, yes. He said, right, well, you've got it. And he gave me my own show 3 weeks from that day.
The Benny Hill Show.
Well, it was called High There. They said, who would know Benny Hill? We'd call it High There. Yeah. But it was virtually my own show. I emceed it and did all the sketches in it.
Now, these impersonations of yours, it must need a tremendous amount of rehearsal and planning. For example, to do all the people in What's My Line in one sketch.
Well, no, I shouldn't be saying this, but really it's a bit of a trick. If you sit at the same desk that the What's My Line panel sit at, and you've just done an impersonation with, say, of David Nixon, and you got to the other end of the table, the people are expecting Gilbert Harding before you appear as him. So the chances are, if you look remotely like him and sound remotely like him, you're away.
Now, Benny, you're top of the tree in a whole lot of media. I mean, you're starring in a West End show. You've got the Benny Hill Show on televisions, radio and films. Now, are you happy with things as they are at present, or have you any particular ambition?
Well, I'm quite happy with things as they are at present, because, you know, I'm not over-ambitious, you know, but I do think the sensible thing to do is to specialise, and though I like stage work, cabaret work, radio work, television work and film work, I like them all. I think one really should specialise in one thing, and I think that this coming year I will lean more and more towards television, not just as a performer, but also as a presenter of shows, as a writer, an encourager, shall we say, of new comics and new scriptwriters and so on. Mm-hmm. See, if a new comic comes on television, instead of me worrying about him doing me out of a job, I can say, good, I'm glad he's getting on, because I'm helping him to get there. I'm helping, you know.
Yeah. No ambition to play Hamlet?
Oh, no, none at all. My first ever romance, the biggest I think I've ever had, I was 12 and she was 14. And I saw this lovely girl in a green coat and dark brown hair on a merry-go-round at an Eastleigh fairground, which is about 6 miles from Southampton, during a September carnival week, where I was staying with my uncle and aunt. And I fell like mad for this girl. And I asked my cousin Chris, you know, all about her, and he explained, you know, where she lives and everything. And he said that every lunchtime she used to take her father's lunch into his shop in Market Street in Eastleigh. Well, of course, I had to go back to school. But the next Christmas holiday that came up, the very first day of the holiday, I said, well, Mum, I think I'll go out for a walk today. And she said, you'll be all right, wrap up warm, and here's some sandwiches, you know. And I said, I'll be out all day, like, on a nice long walk, keep me fit. And I walked all the way into Eastleigh, stood at the end of Market Street, watched this girl go into the shop with her father's lunch, come out of the shop with the empties, you know, and go away. And that was I'd finish my sandwiches and go home. And that was my day made. And I did that day after day, right through the holidays. 6 miles there, 6 miles back, rain, shine, hailstorm, snow, the lot.
And you never spoke to her?
No, I didn't. And at the end of the holiday, I went back to school and I don't know whether I forgot her. I think my dad bought me a football or something. And it took me my right off it, you know.